It's Tuesday, February 26th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Yes, folks, I'm back in Hawaii. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to as live as it can be from the state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Yes, I'm back in Hawaii. I am back in the studio. As you can tell, I am very excited. I am very glad to be back. It's been, seems like forever since I've been home. And the kids were obviously very, very ready for me to get back on Friday. The wife was happy. She had a very big honey-do list for me over the weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But, hey, welcome to the show. And if you're checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, you can subscribe to the podcast via the RSS feed or iTunes or Zune Marketplace, whatever it may be. And you can also get subscribed to our newsletter so that you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. So again, go over to Geek News Central at geeknewscentral.com. If you have comments about tonight's show or today's show, feel free to drop me a voicemail at our voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And of course, you can always email me at geeknews@gmail.com. So how's everyone doing? I hope you're doing good. I hope you had a great weekend. I know many of you are still suffering from cold weather, and I am glad to say I am no longer freezing. I think I froze the whole month I was gone, and tonight I am in the audience here in the studio with a pair of shorts on and a t-shirt, the windows open. Oh, gosh, it's absolutely beautiful here. But, yeah, I got home on Friday, flew in from, let's see, I guess I bounced out of Albuquerque, went to Dallas, then caught a flight to Honolulu out of Dallas, and then got in here Friday afternoon, and just really spent some downtime all of Friday night, Saturday, spent some time, actually, Saturday morning wasn't downtime, but we had a roundtable on Saturday morning. I'll talk about the challenges with that, but had some friends over Saturday evening, had a little bit of a barbecue, and it was kind of like a combination welcome home slash Valentine's dinner slash, it was kind of a catch-up thing from the whole time I had been gone, so it was really nice and got to kick back. But anyway, Saturday, I got everything done here. I got unpacked and got the computer set up Friday night, and I knew everything was set to go Saturday morning for the Tech Podcast Roundtable. And I came down Saturday morning. I actually kind of slept in because I had everything ready. So I got down the office about 8:30, 9 o'clock, about 2 hours before the roundtable was to start. And I said, well, let's warm the studio up. And I turned the switch on to the system, and everything came up correctly, but I noticed that the phone hybrid was actually off hook. In other words, it was like I was on the air with it. So I reached over to turn it off, and it didn't turn off. And yes, my phone bridge was busted, and I immediately went into a panic because I'm thinking, how am I going to record the show? I've never really done any a Skype recording per se. And, really we didn't have a lot of time. So I called, Andy McCaskey up. I remember while I was at his house, I had actually toured his studio and saw a phone bridge. I said, Andy, you've got to record the show. I'm down. My gear's broke. And so we spent probably about an hour getting his system up and around so he could record the audio from via the, a phone bridge, but we're all good, and we had a great roundtable, had a great number of presentations. So actually, that video's got to get pushed up yet, so I'll hopefully have that out tomorrow. And I'm running behind because Andy did the audio recording, had to send it over to me, but we'll get that up. But it's been great just catching up with the kids and finding out what's going on here. But one thing I did, you know, men, if you go on travel and the ladies make changes while you're gone, in other words, changes to the home, trust me, from many, many years of experience of being on the road, just keep your mouth shut, okay? Keep your mouth shut for the first couple of days, and then question very, very carefully why the change was made. And she changed some things in my office that, well, I wouldn't have changed them if I had been here, but she made the change, so we're going to live with it for now. But it's not 100% conducive to my productivity when it comes to finding stuff. She wanted it just to look a little bit more neater, and you know, I'm looking for functionality, not complete neat freak. But anyway, that's here and there. But I'm glad to be back here in Honolulu. Of course, for those of you that are part of the Ohana, hey, thanks for being part of the family, and of course, stay and subscribe and telling people about the show. It's really encouraging to me, all the great emails and voicemails I've gotten, even a bunch of stuff I've gotten recently privately that you've said, hey, please don't play this on the show. It's very heartwarming, the info that you're sending out. Hey, a little bit of news on Hawaii, though, is that, you know, Dog the Bunny Hunter, he had been, of course, taken off A&E because of some very derogatory, nasty comments he had made to one of his sons in a phone conversation that got taped. It was really a very, very, very bad racial incident with him. And A&E has announced today, I guess, that production of Dog the Bunny Hunter is back on. I guess the apologies and, you know, Dog is, I don't know what they did. I don't know what, if he went through some, you know, some classes or sensitivity classes or whatever it was, but the very popular series Dog the Bounty Hunter will be back on A&E again. Now, the only reason I say that is because most people really like that show. And I don't know if people are going to, how it's going to affect ratings with what he had done, you know, and, you know, it's kind of hard to put that genie back in the bottle, but it will be back on the air. So we're going to be seeing Dog back on at some point here in the near future. Now, I did kind of had to chuckle, though. The son that had made the secret recording, I guess he's in trouble with the law and is actually in a OCCCC here, which is essentially the lockup, and he's in jail for something he did. So, yep, kind of interesting. Okay, well, what else is cooking here? I'm looking through my little list. Don't have a lot of stuff to cover. Let's talk a little bit about the roundtable. Of course, that was sponsored by GoToMeeting. And really, GoToMeeting is a way to improve your bottom line. You can work smarter, save time, and save money. Meet clients or coworkers online with GoToMeeting so you can do more and travel less. It's just like meeting in person. Use GoToMeeting to conduct presentations, demos, trainings right from your desk. The best part is you can try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.goToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here. And of course, thank them for their, of course, it was part of our great roundtable presentations that we put together that will be up tomorrow. And of course, our long-term sponsor here, GoDaddy.com. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99 plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you get to that checkout counter, enter the code Todd and save an additional 10% on your order. Get your PC internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. You can also use the code Aloha when you check out and save an additional $20 off your order of $75 or more. Geek 5 will save you 15% off of $20 or more. Or Todd20, that's that special code for shared hosting accounts. 1 year shared hosting accounts save you 20% with that code Todd20. Hey, we've got some cool stuff. Angelo is actually emailing me, or not emailing me, IMing me right now. He is still awake. It is 2:30 in the morning Eastern Standard Time, and he's in code work right now. But wait to see some of the Twitter functionality we've got built into our raw voice generator, into Blueberry Tech Podcast and Podcaster News. It's going to be some very, very cool stuff. All right, what have I got going here? Let me close this and bring up Feed Demon. And I've got a bunch of content for you tonight. Not as much as I had hoped, but I've got enough here to get us through the show like we normally do. One thing I've noticed, and I've actually looked for a while for a solution to this, I'd had some problems with my Mac in playing Flash videos in my Mac. It would start to play, and it would stop like after 2 or 3 seconds. And he is actually Chris Perillo had came up with a thread he found on the Adobe forums. Looks like a solution to my issue. So I'm going to be checking that out. So if you have any Flash problems with Mac OS X, you'll definitely want to check this link out that I have, that Chris has provided. Okay, we've all been really worried about what's going to be happening with energy, you know, the cost of energy, and we know that oil is continuing to go up in price. And, you know, all this discussion has been going around about peak oil and everything that's associated with that. It's always nice to see that, you know, there's continuing science being made on clean power. And the folks over at MIT are still continuing to work on a daily basis to really go after the holy grail, which is fusion. And they feel like they're making good progress, but it's one of those things that's just really... you know, a very, very difficult situation to get their fingers completely wrapped around. But it'd be nice if the folks at MIT, you know, if anybody can do it, they can. There's some very, very smart people over there. But if they can get this, you know, if they can get this under control and make it sustainable, we really would have just, you know, many, many of our energy concerns solved essentially overnight with this. But I think we're still a ways away from it, but it's nice to see that in the very, very smart people of this world, like the grads and the people at MIT are working at it. One thing I do want to talk about is that I had told you that I had gotten some things cleaned up on my website and reobtained my PR7 rank with Google at Geek News Central. Now, PR7, I'm sure, took me, well, you know, it took me many, many years to get to that ranking level. And I think there's 7,000 plus articles on the website. There's, you know, there's a big depth there, a lot of history. So what happens is the higher the page rank you get, the more people try to, how should I say it, is make friends with you. And people offering up money to put links on their, on my webpage, pointing back at them. And really, it's stuff that would, you know, cause my page rank to go down if I did. And at the same time, it would lower the integrity of the site as well for just linking to people. And there was a marked difference between being a PR6 and being a PR7 in the number of emails. I still today, I maybe get 20, 25 emails a day. People say, "Hey, Todd, I see your website. Oh, great website. Hey, I think your my website on basket weaving is a great match. You ought to link over to my site on my site of basket weaving." Now, I'm not kidding you. Some of the topics are that obscure in relation to what's covered on Geek News Central. So most of that stuff is just delete, 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 delete on email. So there's a lot of value in outlinking, and people recognize that. Well, marketers are starting to recognize it as well, and there's a good article up by Steve Rubel talking about search engine optimization shenanigans pose a clear and present danger to social media. And what it looks like is marketing companies are going to start to use the different, if they haven't already, a different, they're using Facebook, MySpace, all the different social media spaces to try to push and promote and get link outs back to their websites for their systems. Now, something we've seen on Blueberry is a number of people that come in and they'll have a name of a show that is marketing your best solution for being found. You know, it's very very, you can tell, very scripted titling, very scripted description, and then they have a 15-second podcast attached to their account. So they're using, in a sense, using Blueberry to try to find or try to get some value from that link being on the webpage and it not necessarily looking like it relates to the site in question. So we're constantly having to go through and kind of cull those out, find those shows that are abusing and essentially deleting them from the system. Now, this is going on in a bigger scale now on other sites. And it really does bother me that marketing companies would actually take this tact. Now, I don't know what it's worth to them dollar-wise to try to get higher in the Google search ranks, but it's obviously worthwhile enough that they're willing to sell their souls to do this. And it is pretty disturbing, and I think we're all going to have to watch for it and have to have ways in which we can flag specific accounts on these services that we think are, doing these type of deeds as a way to game the search engines. And hopefully administrators of those sites will start taking some action on them and either removing them from the systems or, at least, stopping, putting no follows on the different tags on their website. Last year, I guess 2007, when I went to the CES, Andy and I visited the DivX booth, D-I-V-X booth, and they talked to us quite a bit about a website called Stage 6. Now, Stage 6 was interesting in that you could upload high-definition videos to the website, and they would carry it. Well, it turns out that Stage 6 and DivX were paying, according to TechCrunch, as much as $1 million a month to Limelight Networks for carrying their bandwidth, moving all the downloads and all the video views. Well, I guess it could become too much, and Stage 6 is going to be shutting down on February 28th. They've had to pull the plug on it because it's just too expensive to move the media. And, this is something we've been talking about at Raw Voices. The cost of moving media is very, very real. And some companies, even in the podcasting space, are using the media that they're moving as a loss leader in hope that they're going to be able to convert shows to advertising deals and make that money that way. And I really don't see how that model can survive for a long, long time, especially, well, it's all dependent on the popularity of the show as well. So it's going to be something we're going to have to watch out for with other companies as well to make sure that the data that we have up is going to remain viable and that the companies are financially sound so that if they, if they do decide that, I guess the main thing is here, we just have to make sure that our media's in a place where we don't have to worry about the company going out of business and then it disappearing off the internet forever. All right, over at the dailymail.co.uk website, there's some new roadside cameras that are going to be detecting blood. And it's going to be able to catch drivers who abuse car-sharing lanes. Now, when I first heard this, I was like, what? Blood? The roadside camera is going to... I thought it was some sort of a crime thing initially. I thought that the camera would be looking for mass murderers, and it's really not that. What the cameras do is they measure the amount of actual... the amount of liquid in bodies in order to determine if there are enough people in the car to be in the lane that they're supposed to be in. So if you're in an HOV2 lane, you got a driver supposed to have two other passengers, this camera somehow detects how much body fluids are inside the vehicle. Isn't that kind of weird? It is really kind of odd. It really, really is. And originally I thought this was a joke, but I saw it on two or three other sites as well. And we all know, we've all been in HOV lanes, and we've seen that lone guy that's in a vehicle, and he's supposed to have another rider with him, and he's riding in the lane, and you're like, buddy, I wish the cops would catch you and give you a ticket. Well, these new cameras are going to catch lone drivers who abuse car-sharing lanes, but kind of creepy in the way they do it, that is for sure. Hey, remember several months ago we talked about the Doomsday Seed Bank? And how they were building those in a number of places throughout the world. Remember us talking about that? Well, guess what? It's being reported that the Arctic Doomsday Seed Vault is going to be opening this week. So the vault's initial repository is going to include 250,000 varieties, or 12 million seeds from virtually every country in the world, according to the association. It's being said on the website that all that can be seen of the vault outside the mountain is a concrete wedge, which inside a 410-foot tunnel goes deep into a hillside in three vaults with airlock doors, keypad entry, stone and plastic impregnated concrete walls, and the air has been cooled to between minus 18 and minus 20 C. And they're saying that Norwegian meteorologists have calculated without power, the vaults would still be below freezing 200 years from now under the worst climate change scenarios. This is just simply an amazing thing. What do they know? What do they know that we don't? What really prompted these guys to build this? You know, this is a major, major undertaking. If you really think about this, this is enough to really make you go, hmm. And, but you know, this is pretty cool that they're doing that. You know, this is going to hopefully assure the survivability of mankind in case we do something and wipe ourselves out. Well, maybe not mankind, but at least our crops or our seeds. So, what else are they burying in the ground? What else do they have? It's hard to say what countries have put in place for worst case scenarios, but at least it's an interesting thought. I guess we can be comforted that we'll be able to plant plants after the next ice age or something. Okay, let me move on here. The folks over at MacRumors.com are reporting that some more Apple products are going to be announced today. It looks like there could be a new iPod Shuffle, possibly some software, and even some MacBook Pros as well. Some 17-inch MacBook Pros are going to be announced. So we'll see what is announced. There was some indication at Best Buy by someone determining there's some new stock numbers in the system that MacBook Pros were the most likely candidate to be updated tomorrow. All right, do you all know, if those of you that have Gmail accounts, did you know that you've also got an alias Gmail as well? You've got the, like at Geek News, you've got geeknews@gmail.com, but you've also got, for my specific account, would be geeknews@googlemail.com. So while this is not widely publicized, you do have both of those that are mapped to the same account. So that will, if you want to switch to Google Mail instead of Gmail, you can give it a try. It should work for you. Should be no issue. Let me move ahead. All right, Adobe Air. Lots of stuff on Adobe Air, and I've actually been playing with one of the Adobe Air apps called Twirl, but there's a lot of other ones too. There's some stuff that Google Analytics has. There's one that's called Rich FLV. It's an Air app that lets you edit Flash videos. There's Agile Agenda. It's a project scheduling utility. There's a Adobe Air application for AOL Top 100 videos, even xDrive Lite. So few applications coming out on Air. People seem to be pretty excited about Adobe Air. And I even heard that the apps are not too hard to be written to. On the last show, we talked about how some of the HD DVD drives are being renamed, and some, you know, product, you know, a little bit of scams being done by companies to try to get rid of their inventory. Well, now, if you are an Xbox 360 user, you can pick up an HD DVD drive for $49.99. And when I was actually in Costco on Sunday, I saw an HD DVD drive, excuse me, a standard HD DVD drive for like $40 on sale at Costco. So everyone's cutting the prices on HD DVD. Actually, I had a couple of, I think one email on HD DVD as well. So we'll talk about that at the end of the show. All right. The folks over in, actually it was, this is a joint press release. It looks like, Sandia National Labs and Oak Ridge National Labs said they've begun developing a concept for the next generation supercomputer. You know, supercomputers are really able to analyze a lot of data, but they're really looking to kick the power up here. In this report, it says the raw computing capability of today's supercomputers is still described as terascale, an era that began about 10 years ago. It says that the TACC announced its 504 teraflop Ranger supercomputer, the world's second most capable system of its kind, just yesterday, at which the world's fastest supercomputer is the actual IBM Blue Genie/L with a peak performance of 596 teraflops. But what the folks at Sandia and at the Oak Ridge National Laboratories, and I'm going to tell you, there's some really, really smart scientists over there. But those folks have started laying the groundwork to build a system that is what they're calling an exascale system, which they want to be 1,000 times faster than the petascale computers or a 1 EFLOP supercomputer. So this is amazing. This is amazing what they're going to do. And, you know, if anybody can do it, these folks can. So it'll be interesting seeing what happens. And really what the goal is here is they want to be able to have modeling, what they can do, rendering of stuff live. And you're thinking about what in the world would they need all that computing power for? Well, these scientists, I mean, they put these models together and they do some amazing, amazing things. But this is the type of power they think they're going to need to solve some of the world's most flexing problems. And it's going to be kind of cool to watch them do it, that's for sure. So this was over on TGDaily.com. Now, do any of you have a friend that works in any of the national labs? If you do, you will know and you'll share with me, I'm sure, that they are just like, wow. They've got IQs that are off the chart, at least the large majority of them do. Okay, there's a great picture here on Gizmodo. It's entitled "The Sad Final Days of a CompUSA." And, you know, here in Hawaii, we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, because CompUSA used to really be our only outlet. And based upon the shipping cost of, you know, what I ordered, how many hard drives did I order just before Christmas? I ordered 4 500-gig drives, and I think the shipping on those 4 drives was like $57. So, you know, most of you that are living in the lower 48, you can get stuff shipped to you relatively inexpensively. And even though CompUSA was typically a lot more expensive, by the time I factored in shipping from the United States, it was about the same. And I could still, you know, put my hands on it and grab it and walk away with it the same day. But we're hurting out here. We need a Fry's or one of those micro centers that everyone on the East Coast talks about. So please, 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 Fry's or micro center, bring one of your big chain stores here to Hawaii. I'd love to have a Fry's here. I don't think the market could support it. Maybe it could. I don't know. But any of you that have ever shopped in a Fry's, you'll know what I'm talking about. That is that's a place where you can really go to geek out and have fun and see all the latest stuff. All right, Network Solutions has been sued over domain front running. The Network Solutions and ICANN are being sued over this situation that result of the folks at Network Solutions registering every domain that was searched for on their service and not immediately registered, and then going in and trying to put a bounty on those domain names and make people pay more for them than they normally would, and essentially locking them out from being able to be registered on different domain names or different accredited domain registers. So they've been sued here. I don't know exactly what the damages they're looking for, but this type of action by Network Solutions needs to be nipped in the bud and stopped. You know, it's just what it is. It's a play here. They're trying to play to get more customers and force people to register domains through them, and they have not remained cost-effective like GoDaddy. You know, GoDaddy is very, very cost-effective. You go and register a domain at Network Solutions, see how much it costs you. Do the comparison. then do the comparisons on the services you get with the domain. I think you'll be more happy registering your domains over at GoDaddy.com. And you don't have to play the monkey business. Those folks over at Network Solutions have been playing for a while. All right, those of you that use BlogLines, I know there's a number of you that subscribe to the Geek News Central RSS feed and also the podcast feed with BlogLines. BlogLines may be on its way out to the Deadpool. There's some rumors out that says a shutdown of the site is a possibility. So we'll see what happens here with this. Again, rumors on BlogLines over the weekend, and then rumors today whether or not that the website is going to stay online. All right, congratulations to the FCC for having hearings and bringing Comcast in and bringing net neutrality advocates together for a conference in which they really put Comcast on the table over their peer-to-peer packet shaping stuff that they'd been doing. And it's really kind of, if you read this article, if there's no article to read tonight, definitely read this one, because it just goes to show you the length that this Comcast executive is going to go to kind of try to hide the fact that they are doing what they're doing. And he doesn't really want to admit. But on the other side of the fence, some of these guys that were on the panel with them really was not that tough on Comcast, which kind of surprised me. It really did. I wish they would have really, really went to battle stations with them and worked on them hard. All right, this next story I think everyone will get a chuckle out of. What would you think if I said that you could fly a transatlantic flight with an engine, an aircraft engine actually running partially on coconut oil? Well, the folks at Virgin Atlantic have flown a BioFlight flight where 20% of the fuel that was in one of the tank's engines was a mixture of 80% coconut oil, or in other words, a biofuel, and 80% was just regular aircraft fuel. Now, it says that they took 150,000 coconuts to come up with enough oil to make that 20% ratio. But it was kind of cool to actually prove the concept of this. Now, I bet you if you stood behind that jet motor and was far enough away where you were safe from the jet blast and the engine was running with the one with coconut oil, do you think it had been good for your skin? Or would it smell like coconut? Oh, gosh. How many of you eat shredded coconut? How many of you buy that from the store? When I was a kid, I was addicted to shredded coconut. You'd buy it in a little bag, and of course, I got it in Michigan. It was probably like 10 years old and probably really not fit to eat, but I ate it anyway. Oh, gosh, it just brings back some memories. And actually, I can't even look shredded coconut in the, I just can't even imagine eating it today. But strange things you get addicted to when you're a kid. All right, Boing Boing is reporting on government and corporate employees engaging in an epidemic of snooping into databases. And I've always thought that, if people can do it, they will. And people that work in the government that have access, or work within private corporations that have access to people's personal information, it's just human nature. People go snoop. And Boing Boing's reporting about an Associated Press report talking about essentially a true epidemic of people snooping and looking at different databases between government and corporations and you name it. They say in here, unscrupulous employees and contractors. Who are they kidding? Who are they kidding? I'm sure most people, if you have on a day-to-day using this type of data, in other words, you're into a data system every day, I am sure everyone at some point in their job and career would be tempted to go look at someone else's record that they weren't supposed to look at. I think it's just insidious behavior. I think it's just the way we are as humans. Now, I'm not saying everybody would do that, but I almost think a certain number would. So anyway, I'd love to hear your feedback on that and anything else that I've talked about tonight. Again, kind of short on actually article commentary tonight, and here I am, like, record time done with the tech portion of the show, which is kind of weird. It really, really is. But some of you are probably saying, thank you, a shorter show this time. But we'll see how long it takes to get through the voicemail and email comments tonight. But again, done with the regular commentary. And feel free to drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Now, I've got a couple of actually a little longer voicemails tonight. I'll play those in their entirety, and then we'll go into the actual email comments. Got some real good ones in there, so you want to stick around for that. So again, 619-342-7365 is the voicemail hotline. Or you can, again, geeknews@gmail.com. So here comes the first voicemail of the evening. I actually haven't previewed these. I just see the times on them. So we'll see what people have to say tonight.
Todd, this is Frank in Milwaukee.
Hey, Frank.
I wanted to tell you, just give you some feedback in general about your show. You know, why I like it.
Oh,
why
good.
I think others might like it. Number one is your enthusiasm. You love this stuff.
I do.
And you're really good at pulling together bits of information and sharing them. And I do like the snippets of personal wove in there also. Some of the shows are ridiculous, like CNET Buzz. I was trying to look at some other tech shows, and the silly groups laughing amongst themselves just get to be real tiring. The one other thing I think is really big is the whole backstory in your show. You know, you're a retiring military guy. I was in the military. I'm in the federal government now. I'll be retiring soon. You retired, and you live in Hawaii, and you're buying an expensive house, and you say, how? Well, you know, apparently you're doing well in the business, and that's great. You're an entrepreneur on the rise. You know, the CEO, Raw Voice, and you guys are working on the road and taking these longer road trips now, and with the flights and hotels, apparently you guys are making it. And that's good. I mean, it's kind of vicariously some of us can ride along with you and see you go from a hobby that you had a passion to, turning it into a business, and you're a leader in the industry in some regards. So it's interesting listening to you. I enjoy it a lot. I like Sherrycast also. Keep it up, and we look forward to you really, who knows? I'll never see your peak, but it'll be high. Thanks. See you, Todd.
Hey, you'll never see my peak. What do you mean? You're not going anywhere, are you? No, thank you so much for the kind words. It really is humbling. I do appreciate it. And, and it is an interesting ride here. And it's an interesting journey that we are on. And where it ends up, who knows? And like I tell the guys, you know, we're just going to continue to throw stuff up against the wall and see if it sticks. And if it doesn't, we can continue to move on. You know, we don't have any VC hooks in us. We're not under any pressure. Definitely want to, you know, have more people full time, but we're going to build as we can. And, doing this is not without challenges. That's for sure. The majority of the guys on the team have full time jobs. They're, have families. So, it's a very tough thing to do that way. But I knock on wood here. We've been pretty successful so far, and I think the main thing that I always tell the guys, I said, whatever we do, we do the best we can, and we do it honestly, and do it in a way that our integrity is sound. And I think that's the most important thing in any business today, and making sure we take care of those that are taking care of us, and we're working real hard to bring new features to. Our communities, so that those are, and I don't think everyone in our community understands. I think there's a core group. I think there's a core group of podcasters that really understand where we're going. But I think there's a greater number, sadly, and I really try to push this message forth a lot. And maybe I don't do it the right way, but I think there's a number of podcasters that are really overwhelmed with the technology still, and they're just trying to get their show off the grounds and make it work, and they're not really worried about this, you know, this bigger family here that's trying to support them. And I don't know, I guess we'll see what happens. And hey, thanks for being along for the ride and being part of the Ohana, and the very, very kind words. I do want to thank you for that. It was most appreciative, and I am most humbled. So thanks again. And feel free to call back anytime. Sure, it's a nice ego boost. You know, how can I say that? I'm humbled in one side, ego boost on the other. That's terrible. I'll just be quiet and move on here to the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd, it's Isabel in St. Louis. The new Brella, no thanks. I'm a jeans and t-shirt kind of girl. I don't really care. So I walk a lot on my campus at work, but, you know, regular umbrella does me fine if I really need it. Otherwise, I walk the building so that I don't have to go outside, and we have that advantage there. But anyway, new umbrella looks pretty hideous to me, but kind of funny. And I want to take you to task for grousing about Yahoo. I actually use Yahoo, and I know we've had this discussion before, but I have a Yahoo email account that I use that virtually gets no spam because their spam catcher is pretty darn good. So that's an advantage there. But one of the other things they do really well is email groups. And I'm on quite a few email groups, and there, you know, I realize there's some negative groups out there, or some groups that, you know, I certainly wouldn't want to join. It is one of those services that works well for a lot of things, and I use, like I said, I use it quite a bit. So there are things it does well. It was one of my concerns if Microsoft buys Yahoo, are they going to mess with the group function, because their MSN group function pretty much sucks. So keeping the Yahoo groups would be the advantage there. Third, I'm pretty impervious to advertising, and so it doesn't matter what you advertise in your show, I'm probably not going to buy it. And it has nothing to do with the product or the recommendation of the product necessarily. It's just I'm pretty immune to advertising, and I always have been. I just don't hear it. I don't see it. Whatever. I ignore it. But I do have issues with GoDaddy. I have one account at GoDaddy that I took over from someone else that I'm hoping to transfer as soon as it becomes ready to transfer. I think I have another 6 months on the contract. But I really wish GoDaddy would realize that there are the people who could purchase web space are not always men. I'm female, obviously, and to me, the whole GoDaddy, let's show Danica Patrick unzipping her jacket thing is pretty much, it's not attractive to me, and so it doesn't make me want to buy their services. And I know at one point you said you had 13% of your listeners were female. Well, they're losing, you know, maybe 13% of the possible income revenue stream by continuing to advertise strictly to males. So that's just my comment on that one. And yours is one of the podcasts I would pay a subscription fee to, probably to keep it, because it's one I listen to twice a week without fail in the car on my way to work. I can't say that about a whole lot of others. So keep up the good work. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Susabel, thanks so much for that. And yeah, I understand your comments across the board all the way. So far as the Yahoo stuff go, you know, I think the thing that bothers me about the Yahoo groups is they drop advertising into the actual emails, and that's something that Google Groups doesn't do. And you know, I've used mailing list software for many, many years, and of course I ran a mailing list on my own as well. So I guess I'm one half dozen the other when it comes to which one I like the best. I guess when I don't have to deal with, you know, the way they format it is, it's, you know, I know they're trying to, they have to support it somehow. And I know that it's effective on both the Google Group side and also the Yahoo group. So I think they're pretty equal there. But thanks for the comments on that. Of course, in the comments on the GoDaddy stuff, I do know that some women are definitely sensitive to what they're doing, their advertising campaigns. And hopefully if we get Bob Parsons on the show, well, maybe I'll play this segment for him and see what his reaction is. It's definitely something I think they should hear. And a matter of fact, I'll probably forward this email to him, and or this voicemail to him with your permission. And I think it's something they, again, they should hear. So, again, thanks for your comments, and thanks for being part of the Ohana. And I know you're going to stay subscribed. So let's go ahead and play the last voicemail of the night, and then we'll get into the email comments.
Hey, Todd, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
I'm on Skype. Hey, I'm not trying to rough you up here, but being that you're a Navy man, I figure you're in a good position to defend yourself.
Sure.
the satellite the Navy destroyed the other day.
Yeah, we whacked it pretty good.
Pretty much most of the experts think that any risk to humans being harmed by the unspent fuel cell, that is, if it did actually manage to re-enter unburnt, that the risk was minuscule, and that, you know, any sensitive data from the spy satellite would certainly be destroyed after it impacted. Don't you think that maybe the risk of the debris possibly impacting other space vehicles maybe poses a bigger danger than the unspent fuel? I mean, considering that no human has ever been harmed by space junk. Now, I understand the Chinese satellite that they destroyed last year was in quite a bit higher of an orbit, and its debris pattern created a much greater risk than the debris pattern from the U.S. satellite. I mean, the Chinese job definitely looked a lot sloppier, but in the end, it all just kind of looks like saber-rattling, you know, that kind of involved risk for everyone. Anyway, I thought maybe you could add something because you had such an extreme different position on the two incidents. Last week, your show notes said, go Navy. Now, I want to play just a little bit of what you said.
Okay. The Navy pulled it off. If you haven't seen the news, you've been in a shell. The United States missile hit the... I guess the dead spy satellite, as they have been reporting it on the news. And so they, a pretty impressive explosion from what I've seen running on the video. But nice job by them to pull that off. And, of course, the Russians and the Chinese are all upset. But, oh, well, tough. That's life.
Okay, and this is from show 239. And your show note says, China space weapon in dangerous world. And I'll play you a little bit of that one.
I don't know what the Chinese were thinking there, but they need to stop that crap, you know? Won't be long if they, you know, if they continue to do that, we won't even be able to... It's really, really dumb. Why? Just because we can? Hello? It doesn't take a rocket scientist, my friends, to shoot a missile and hit a target. Just kills me. It really, really does. I really don't understand. I guess it's because they could. That's the reason they did it.
Anyway, hey, you know, if the risks are low, then why not show them what we can do? I'm all for it. You know, show them our stuff. But there is some good news in the satellite area lately. If you haven't heard, the Japanese just launched a new satellite on Saturday. And apparently, with their tiny receiver, the tiny dish, you'll be able to get, they're saying, internet speeds a lot faster than DSL or cable, up to 1.2 gigabytes per second. Okay, that's pretty good. I just hope there isn't any old spy satellite debris in the way. Anyway, I'm sorry if the message ran a little bit long. Looking forward to the show.
Hey, no problems. Well, I guess the reason I have two point of views on this is that, first of all, as far as the United States and what they did in the shoot down or the actual destruction of the satellite was they waited till it got into a very, very low orbit. It was almost at the point where, well, actually it was at the point where it was starting to see a drag on it. It was actually being pulled back into the atmosphere. So essentially the satellite was lower than any other satellite. There would be no other operational satellites in that altitude. They couldn't operate there because they would re-enter and burn up in the atmosphere. So the Navy waited. They didn't wait until it was, you know, months ago when it was in a much, much higher they didn't do this months ago when it was in a higher altitude. They waited until the altitude got low enough where it was just about ready to re-enter. Now, what the Chinese did was the altitude of their satellite was nowhere near in an area or an altitude in which it was actually ready to re-enter. So the actual space junk that was created by the Chinese is going to be in space for years. The space junk that was created from the United States shoot is going to be in space for a couple of days. So I guess that's where my point is. Now, if the United States had went and done the same thing altitude-wise that the Chinese had done, I think I would be pretty disgruntled as well. But I don't think that there has to be, you know, they waited until the space shuttle had gotten through that that reentry zone and before they did that, because they knew there would be a worry there. But at the same time, there was no other concern of anything else around it, even today. So I think that's the, you know, maybe that's where, and well, that is, that's exactly where my point of view difference is. Now, so far as the satellite that's been put up to have internet connectivity, I think it's a cool thing. I know that many people in the United States are on HughesNet, and actually I was talking with a guy on the phone the other day that has that service where he gets, you know, pretty good download speed, not as fast as what they're reporting is what the Japanese are going to provide with this new satellite, but definitely it's, I think it's a cool way for them to go and hopefully get places in the country wired that's not wired. But, you know, there's only so much room up there, too, for stuff. So I don't know. We'll have to see how this goes. I've always thought that, you know, blimps on a cable, something that's not just allowed to free float, something that would be tethered would be a good solution for many, many cities. Okay, great voicemails. Lots of, I like to see these. These are good. Putting my feet to the fire a little bit. So a lot of fun on those tonight. So thanks everybody for calling in and leaving your comments. Let me go ahead and get into the emails. And of course, you too can fire it up at 619-342-7365, or you can geeknews@gmail.com. First email I got tonight was from Danny out of Eastbourne, UK. He says, "Hey, Todd, I keep hearing about your listeners, viewers complaining about your RSS feeds. I think it's not your fault that people are complaining that they are missing shows or they don't want video content on your RSS feed. It's not your subscribers either. It's time for developers such as Apple to provide RSS filtering so people can see all the types of media in the RSS or only get audio/video content. Maybe Blueberry can work on something like this. I'm still using the clunky Juice Potter for cross-platform because I use Windows, Mac, and Linux." You know what, Danny? That is like, that's a great idea. That is like, that's tops in being able to do a filter for audio and video. I think we can help you out there. And actually, I already sent this over to, actually, I was reluctant to even play this email or read this email because I was like, that's a good one. Now, so far as Apple doing it, I think we can hold our breath. But I think it's something that's needed. It really, really is. But if we can provide some filtering at the source for those that are using our website and our MyCast system where they're mashing up RSS feeds, that may be a different point altogether where we can, you know, allow it to happen on the software side and not actually on the RSS side, not necessarily on the podcatcher side. Got an email from Bree. Uh-oh, Susabelle. Bree says, "Hey, I like this thing." And she's talking about the Newbrella. "I wonder, however, how well it does in the wind. Will wind get up under it and push it off? Can't tell how well it's secured to the model. In the picture, the umbrella is in cold weather. Will it get foggy under there as you breathe?" Good idea, though, Bree in D.C. Yes, so we got a little mixed reaction to the Newbrella. Got an email from John. He says, "Hey, Todd, regarding show number 350, Apple's patent ideas look interesting. However, one statement in the patent should be concerned to podcasters who have paid sponsors. And here's the quote. In many cases, a subscriber is not interested in the entire pre-established podcast, but would prefer to modify the podcast in some manner. However, there is currently no way for subscribers to alter the content within a podcast." Oh, that is kind of curious. He says, goes on to say, "How will paid sponsors react to modified podcasts? And could such a modification be that the listener could remove advertising for listening?" I think they could probably chop it up. Maybe that's their idea. Anyway, he says, "From the diagrams, I get the sense that they're proposing is an aggregation of web media from different sources into a single podcast. Sounds like I might be able to get my old Buzz Out Loud, /Start Review, and Geek News all rolled onto one podcast. If that is indeed their aim, then I have a defensive move for the Zune. Give me a playlist for my podcast, just like the quick list for music. I'd love the ability to set the order of the podcasts I listen to on a permanent basis via a playlist. It would reduce my interaction with the Zune while listening to my content while commuting. Feel free to pass this on to your contact at Zune. He can send the check to my PayPal account. And he says, love the show, but disagree with your politics. So my recent Twitters, keep up the good work, John, in Atlanta. Yeah, I had some political type Twitters the other day, so we won't get into those at all. But, you know, on this thing with Apple, John, you know what's kind of interesting here is that it sounds to me like they're going to be able to take segments of shows and pull out relevant data, either through search technology or something to that sort. I don't know. Obviously, if the copyright doesn't allow that, they won't be able to do that. They won't be able to take segments and remash a segment and repurpose that way. And they'll definitely run into some copyright issues that way. Got an email from another. First one was John with J-O-N. Second one is with John with J-O-H-N. I got an email from John. He says, hey, Todd, with all due respect, I really wish that people such as yourself will stop it with the HD DVD is dead. Sell it on eBay now. There's absolutely no reason for any HD DVD owner to sell their players. Just as with any electronics, as long as the people take care of their hardware, the player will last for years. VHS is technically obsolete. How many people still own those? Tens of thousands of people own Laserdisc players, Betamax systems, and numerous obsolete hardware, and they still get enjoyment out of them. My inkjet printer is about 7 years old and is still chugging away. Just because something is technically obsolete does not mean that it's useless. Additionally, advertising HD DVD players as upscalers is not false advertising as you suggested. Upscaling is one of the core functions of the HD DVD and Blu-ray players, considering the HD DVD players are now available for only $20 to $30 more than normal DVD players. Marketing any remaining HDD players as upscalers is 100% accurate, is actually a very good way of selling the remaining players. Some argue that this is the way that Toshiba should have been marketing in the first place. If you listen to my podcast, you know all of this. Sorry, I had to. John from widescreen.org. You know, I think, though, John, here's the deal. It may not be illegal, but I think it's deceptive. Okay? And I think that's where I have an issue with it. Now, so far as the players being available, if they continue to make HD DVD disc, no issue. But the problem is, very few HD DVD disc movies are going to be out. And unless you can get media, unless you get a burner, what are you going to play on that thing? You know, maybe a handful, 20 titles. And if it's not a burner, you know, if it's a burner, then you're going to get some use out of it. But cross-compatibility is going to be very few and far between with working with other people with Blu-ray players as they start to roll out burners. So I don't know. I don't know if I agree with you on the, you know, sure, it'll work. But, you know, how much functionality are you going to get out of it? All right, next email is from Hamid, and he says, hey, Todd, I'm in Jeddah, West Coast, Saudi Arabia. I'm a computer engineer. I used to have a PC board BBS in the 80s. Your show was one of the first I downloaded when I purchased my Creative Zune Touch, and that was several years ago. I like your show because it's a personal touch, so keep that up. I really am surprised when somebody sends you a comment bashing you about talking about GoDaddy or GoToMeeting. I say, if you have an issue about a program or provider, specifically issue, and maybe when Todd talks about it, somebody may have a solution. I'd like to thank you for your interest and the show. And thanks, Hamid, for being a listener on the show. And, you know, as much time as I spent in the Middle East before, I don't know if I'm going to be taking any vacations there anytime soon. It's, I don't know how you deal with the heat. I really don't. It's, it definitely can get hot. Thank goodness. If it wasn't for air conditioning, it'd be too hot in that part of the world for me. I got an email from Bob. He says, hey, your medical records may be sold and not covered by HIPPA. I said, huh? Bob, they may be sold. He said, watch what you consent to with your medical records. And he's got two links here. So if all of you are concerned about your medical records being actually sold, you'll definitely want to look at these two links that he's provided. Also, he's got another link here from Google. Got an email from Brian pointing out the new Japanese satellite that went up. I'll have that up. Got an email from Terrence. They say, Todd, I think a couple of links I sent you may actually have the same content, just republished on different sites. Here's a book I highly recommend. Thanks for that, Mark. Actually, Terrence is in the email, but it's signed Mark on the bottom. I got an email from Rod. He said, "Hey, Todd, I'm responding to your listener suggestion. I think GNC number 350 for listeners to send in a list of podcasts we listen to. I have a two-hour daily commute to work each weekday, so I listen to a bunch of Audible, soon-to-be Amazon.com audiobooks, plus a great bunch of podcasts. I also suggest your listeners check out iTunes U listings in iTunes for some great content from various universities. I would definitely like to see you post a spreadsheet like listing for the various podcasts which your listeners listen to. Maybe show how many listen to each media source and ask them to send you an update every few months. I would think that knowing what your listeners are interested would help you in shaping your content choices at GNC and Raw Voice. I do part of that through the newsletter as well, kind of do some shaping from info I derive from that. He says, I've also copied Andy over at SDR News since he might be interested too. And his list is A Buzz Out Loud, Cranky Geeks, CNET Daily Tech News, Dig Nation, Floss Weekly, My Show, Andy's Show, /.review, IT Conversations, The Tech Guy by Leo Laporte, Linux Reality, Maximum PC Podcast, Net at Night, NPR Science Friday, PC Mag Radio, PRI, To the Best of Our Knowledge, Security Now, This Week in Tech, and This Week in Science. Very cool list, Rod. Definitely appreciate it. And Rod's out of Richardson, Texas, and part of the Ohana here. And great list. Thanks for that. And we'll definitely put a spreadsheet together. Got an email from Carl. Hey, Todd, you should really check this story out. He said, goes on to talk about Pakistan basically hijacked YouTube's IP address. So, yeah, that's been all over the net today. I'll have this up in the show notes. And thanks for that, Carl. Appreciate it. And then I got an email from John. He says, "Hey Todd, there's nothing new about the Newbrella. Maxwell Stewart used it with the Chief of Control. It was called the Cone of Silence. I looked at it and made me really laugh. Some people just won't remember. Get smart with Don Adams, but I sure you and I do. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. I kind of have to laugh because I do remember that. So, all right, that's it. Record time, short show tonight, folks, and." Hopefully on Friday we'll have a bigger selection of news to give you, but lots of great commentary, great comments, and anyway, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365, and until next time, y'all take care, and aloha.